This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.
Well, hello, everybody out there. It is Readers Entertainment Radio, and I am Patricia W. Fisher. It is November 1st. Can you even believe it? We're already to November 1st, and it is National Adoption Month, and it is a special, special month for us because my family, we finalized an adoption 6 years ago this month, and so we're super excited about that. So if you have questions about adoption, please don't hesitate to ask. There's all sorts of ways to become a parent of a child who really needs that forever home. But we also have National Author Day, which is November 1st, which is perfect because we're starting NaNoWriMo, for anybody who knows about that. It's write a book in a month. It doesn't have to be a great book. It just has to be your terrible first draft. But someone who knows all about writing and being our author of the day today is Carly Bloom, and she began her writing career as a family humor columnist and blogger, and she pursued it with abandon until her children grew up to literally die from embarrassment. It's every parent's wonderful focus to embarrass their children as much as possible. And so then she turned into, instead of writing those kind of columns, she turned into writing steamy contemporary romance. And now she and her husband are raising their mortified children, cattle in South Texas. So you can find her on her website, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Welcome, Ms. Carly. How are you today, Ms. Carly Bloom?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
I cracked up a little. It sounded like you said raising her children as cattle, and I'm like, we're not actually weird. So.
No. I was talking a little too quickly, and kind of blurred some words together. So they're the mortified brood of children and cattle. So there's a conjunction in there to connect the two. But exciting news, because we found out right before we came on the air that you have some amazing news. So please tell us. Let's start that way.
Well, I just found out that my novel, Big Bad Cowboy, made the 2018 Best of list by Publishers Weekly. And I just barely had time to look over the list, and I'm in such, amazing company. So I was like one clicking the other 19 books on the list, but I'm really pleased and tickled that happened. That was
started writing though, what did you think you'd come to this point? Was this a goal or was it just to finish a book?
Initially, it was just to finish a book. Just, I wanted to see if I could do it. Like you said, I wrote as a mommy blogger, and I wrote a family humor column. And I did give that up when my kids got old enough to realize I was, like, exploiting them and and asked me to please, stop sharing what I thought were funny stories with the world because they were getting called out on them. People are you're one of the Kids in Tow kids. And then they would retell stories. And so when they got old enough for that to bother them, I quit, and I really just missed writing. And I thought, I'd only written nonfiction. And I thought, what could I do that wouldn't matter, that nobody would care if I aired their dirty laundry? And I had to make people up. I had to make people up who wouldn't care. So that's how that happened. And none of my fictional characters have complained yet.
Right. Well, they do love a good story told about them, I will say.
Yeah.
It is fun to come up with those characters and have them speak, all sorts of things.
Yes.
So when you were younger, were you a voracious reader? Were you a writer? How did that come about?
I was both of those things. I remember writing, like in first grade, we had to read, memorize and some little poems and recite them. And I wrote poetry from that day on, like with crayons or whatever. And I tried to write books like in high school, and I never finished anything, and like a lot of people. And then I found my voice kind of as a nonfiction writer, where I wrote the column, and I wrote for some inspirational anthologies. And I had really never thought about writing fiction again. But I always read, of course, tons and tons of fiction. And I read my first romance novel, I think I was in sixth grade. And I found it, I can't remember what the situation was, but it had the cover ripped off, you know, the books that you would find with the covers ripped off. And anyway, I remember that got passed around. I think I passed that book around the entire sixth grade of my middle school. But we all got an
you
education
rebel.
That year. Yeah, I know. But no, I'm a voracious reader, and I've always read. And my kids are, too.
What,
it's really important to me.
What was that first romance novel? Do you remember?
You know, I cannot remember the name. And recently, a friend of mine and I were trying to remember the name, and we probably wasted an hour Googling it by all kinds of descriptions. Like, we remembered it involved the Alamo. And that the word Alamo was in the title, and we Googled every version of that from, this would have been, you know, in the 70s. I'm giving my age away. We couldn't come up with it. I would love to find that book again.
Huh. Okay, so anybody out there who's read a romance novel from the 1970s that has the Alamo in it, let Carly know, and you can find her at carlybloombooks.com.
And there was one word in there that confused us so much, and we didn't have Google back then. You know, it would have involved going and finding a dictionary, so I don't think we ever bothered, but there was the word ramrod was used. And we couldn't understand what a ramrod was, considering the context. And it just really, really stumped us. And I remember when I later found out what it was, I remember being really disappointed. Like, that wasn't what I thought it was.
Oh, okay. Well, such is the fun of reading, that you keep reading. So did you take writing classes and such in college?
I didn't. And but I had a great writing teacher in high school, an English teacher, who really encouraged me. He was a wonderful teacher, and his name was Mr. Rust. And then when I went into college, I majored in marketing, so I have a marketing degree. But I loved my English classes, and I wish I'd gotten a creative writing degree. But one thing that in my writing, like, I started my first book in my 40s, late 40s, and it was published the year I turned 50, and then I signed my first 3-book contract when I turned 53. So I just hope to encourage people who think, oh, it's too late for me to start something new, that it's really not. I mean, I've lived my life as a series of phases, and it's never too late to start something new.
Never. So with that being said, tell us about your book that is being featured in Publishers Weekly.
Well, it's called Big Bad Cowboy, which I still can't say with a straight face. Like, that just makes me smile so big. But I was inspired by, I love rom-coms, and I was inspired by You've Got Mail, which is probably my favorite romantic comedy of all time. And I knew that I wanted to write a story, where I had two romance arcs going on. So I've got a couple who meet anonymously at a Halloween party, and she's dressed as Little Red Riding Hood, and you can guess what he's dressed as. And so it's immediate chemistry. But then in real life, they're adversaries at work. And so we've got a romance arc that's anonymous that goes really, really fast, hot and heavy, physical. And then we've got a slow, simmering enemies to lovers arc going on with their real life selves. So You've Got Mail, of course, you know, they're emailing each other. And in Big Bad Cowboy, it's texting. So they have this texting relationship where, as Little Red Riding Hood and the Big Bad Wolf, where they don't know that they're actually the people that are arguing with each other every day at work.
Wow. Okay. I mean, that I like that idea of getting to know each other in basically two different worlds.
Yes. And both personalities that they put forth are expressions of who they really are. You know, you've mm-hmm. got the part of yourself where, you know, that thing where you sit next to a stranger on a plane and you say things that you wouldn't normally tell someone. That's taking place in the texting relationship. And then
right.
in the real life relationship, it's also their true selves, but I guess more guarded. Well, I guess in each case they're guarding different aspects of their personalities.
Sure.
If you know what that
sure.
is.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, and if you're at work, there's certain things you just don't talk about at work versus, you know, in this other world that you feel safe to discuss anything.
Right.
It's important to cover both. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so you've got Big Bad Cowboy, Once Upon a Time in Texas, book one. So what,
yes.
if it's book one, what is set for book two?
Book two is called Cowboy Come Home. It's currently killing me because my deadline's in like 2.5 weeks to turn that book in. And whereas Big Bad Cowboy is a Little Red Riding Hood theme, and they're not
mm-hmm.
retellings, they're themed. The
okay.
Cowboy Come Home is Cinderella themed.
Okay.
And it takes place in the same fictional town, which is a small Texas town in the Texas Hill Country. And it's the same world, secondary characters getting their story.
Did these characters come naturally as secondary? Did you plan for that? Or was it something you said, hey, they need a story too?
I'm not a big planner. So, yeah, they just, when I wrote Big Bad Cowboy, I wasn't sure who the hero and heroine were going to be for the second book. But now that I'm writing the second book, I'm pretty sure who my characters are going to be for the third book. So I'm kind of slowly building her role up, setting her up for her own book.
Right. And it's always fun when those characters start really speaking to you and saying, hello, over here, I need my story.
Right? It is fun. It's kind of weird, too, actually.
So if you're just now joining us, Readers Entertainment Radio, my name is Patricia Fisher, and I'm talking to author Carly Bloom. Her book, Big Bad Cowboy, just came out on the 30th, correct?
Yes. Yes.
And then when will your next book come out?
Cowboy Come Home comes out in August of next year. But I
okay.
also have a novella coming out that's in the same series, same world, on June 25th. And it's bonus material in Jay Crownover's new book. Her book comes out June 25th. And so then my novella, which is called It's All About That Cowboy, is the bonus story in the back. So
okay. Okay. That's
and
cool because you get to tell each other's. And tell me, I'm sorry,
yeah,
tell me your
yeah.
title again.
Justified.
Justified. Perfect.
Yes.
Now, I'm
really
looking at
excited because I'm a Jay Crownover fan, so I'm so happy to be paired with her and have a story in her book. Like, that's a dream come true for me, so.
And it's very interesting when you go to these writers' conferences and you meet these people who have written these books that that have basically let you escape from, you know, general chaos of the world. And it's almost like it's meeting a rock star in a way, a celebrity.
Oh, yeah. I went to my first big writers conference in Denver this year. And, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I just felt like a fan the whole time I was there. I kept forgetting that I was also a writer. So I felt like I was just there watching everybody else. And it was weird. I was checking name tags the whole time and getting real excited when I'd see somebody that, you know, that I really admired.
And it's a lot of fun because years ago I walked up to Sabrina Jeffries. I think Romance Writers of America was in Atlanta or Anaheim. And I said, I just want you to know that whenever your books come out, my kids eat sandwiches for dinner because I don't want to cook anything. And so from now on, I've been the sandwich lady ever since she's seen me at conferences. So it's a lot of fun to have that back and forth. And so even on Facebook or, you know, social media, it's like, oh, it's the sandwich lady. And it's that fun. It's not just the, you know, movie stars or musicians or football players or, you know, athletes. It's the writing world is its own, like its own pop culture thing. I mean, it's its own pop culture wonderful. And it's just really cool to see so many authors getting that recognition. So, and speaking of rock stars, I see on your website you have a book with rock stars, correct?
Yes, I had in 2015. I wrote Color Me Crazy, which was published with Untangled, and that one was really my first book. Big Bad Cowboy is my first debut as Carly Bloom, writer of Western romance, but Color Me Crazy is written under my real name, which is Carol Pawliska, which rolls so easily off the tongue, you can kind of see how I ended up with a pen name.
Well, tell me about Color Me Crazy, and what was
Color
the
Me Crazy
influence for that?
Okay, well, Color Me Crazy is completely different from my cowboy stories. I live on a cattle ranch. People probably picked up on that when you mentioned the cattle earlier. So, you know, I read and write to escape as much as the next person. So my first book was actually about a British rock star, and he has, because, you know, he's real and he's still in existence in my mind. He has synesthesia, which is where you your signals kind of get mixed up in your senses. So in his case, he saw every sound he heard as colors.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people actually have that, and a lot of them are musicians, and they have it to varying degrees. But I made him have it really, really to the point that it was crippling at times. And I was just inspired to write that because I think it was NPR actually that I heard about synesthesia, and I thought, well, that's really interesting. And then I started talking to people who were like, oh, I do that. I have a little bit of that. And my daughter's a classical pianist, and she said, oh, I know a lot of people who experience varying levels of synesthesia. So that's what inspired me, and I was able to create a really unique character and to describe things with a very different different view, because I was able to show the things that he heard as things that he actually saw with colors.
Wow. And that's just a very, you know, I know a lot of times people will say, you have a tortured artist or what have you, but this is somebody who is an organic situation that's trying to make the best of it and really at times having a tough time, of course. And how did you, have you known someone who's had to kind of, and you know, not mentioning any names, but I mean, have you known someone who's had to kind of try and juggle all that kind of out of syncness?
Oh, well, sure, you know, and I've known a lot of artists in my life and a lot of musicians, and I do think that a lot of times extreme creativity comes with a little bit of a price, and I think one of the things that allows people to express themselves creatively is maybe because they process things and see things a little differently, and that's going to come with its own amount of difficulty and challenges.
So when you have Color Me Crazy and then you have a different series like Big Bad Cowboy and then your second book, are you going to write any more in the Color Me Crazy world? Or is that just a one time and done? Or what are you planning to do?
Well, right now I'm really, really steeped in my Once Upon a Time in Texas series.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having a hard time even seeing beyond that because I'm,
sure.
This is the first time I've ever written under a deadline and it's a completely different world. So right now I'm immersed in my small hill country town of Big Verde and I'm not really thinking too much outside of that. But eventually, I mean, if the opportunity arose, I'd love to write more in my rock star world. And I also have a YA fantasy project I put on hold while I'm continuing to finish out my series and Once Upon a Time in Texas. But I right now I can't see beyond that. Like, I can't risk looking beyond that or I'll get distracted. I don't have room for distraction.
And so with kids at home, and I have four, and I understand you have five, and people ask, how do you balance that? And I think the idea is that you are able to balance, like, the, you know, the house is clean and laundry's put away and people have this wonderful dinner, or however, you know, the chores are balanced. But it's not always like that. There's a shift somewhere. You know, how what is your juggle? How do you juggle that?
Oh, no, 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 sister. I got plates hitting the ground all the time. I am not a juggler. And people are like, how are you managing? I'm not managing. Before I got on the phone for the interview, I told everybody, no screaming, no yodeling. And I can't believe you have to say that. Like, I don't think the average person has to say that. But anyway, like, no, everybody calm. I live in a crazy, loud, messy house. And I guess I don't necessarily try to juggle everything, because I think if you just keep waiting for everything to fall into place and to get your act together, then nothing ever happens. Or at least that's how it would be
right
for me. So I've had to lower my expectations, and luckily my family is also, we all set the bar pretty low. There's nobody here with a high bar, so that helps. But my youngest is 14, so they're
okay,
able to help out a lot. And my daughter just turned 16 and got her license, and that was like, you know, my freedom day, yay. So it's not easy, but it's not overwhelming either.
Right. And it does help, like you're saying, when you have a very supportive family that's saying, you know, go for it and do that. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and I really think that, you know, people are like, oh, your kids were embarrassed when you wrote about them, and now they're probably embarrassed because you have, you know, naked chests on the cover of your books. And I'm like, you know, they tease me about it, but they're really proud of me, and I'm happy that they've been able to witness the journey, because there have been many times I wanted to quit, because as you know,
mm-hmm,
this business comes with a lot of rejection. And so they've seen it. They've seen me struggle. They've seen me deal with rejection. They've seen me want to quit, but I never quit. And now,
mm-hmm,
now they're getting to see the result of that. And so I couldn't be happier than to have that kind of a journey play out in front of them. And I hope they're able to draw inspiration from it in their own lives as they get older and they want things that aren't easy to come by.
And I think you made a really important point there, is to that they see the journey of the frustration and the no, and hearing no a lot more than you hear yes. Because I think a lot of times if kids don't see that process, and all they see is the success, they assume everything is like that.
Right, that it was easy. And
right,
then if things don't come easy, they think it's not worth pursuing. But, yeah, it's not easy. And that's not just in our world. It's in the world at large. And so I think, you know, it's been, like I said, it's been hard at times because writing takes up a lot of time. But it's
sure
also been a really great journey for them to witness.
Well, that is very cool. So tell me, we were going back to writing and being a voracious reader, and I know that you're on deadlines, so reading you may not get to read as much as you'd like, but what is on your to-be-read pile right now?
Well, right now I've got I have all the stuff on my Kindle, of course, that I simply don't have time to read, but I'm dying to get after it. And I have Naima Simone. I just downloaded one of her books. I think it was called Sin and Ink. or ink and sense, and an ink sounds better. And Pippa Grant, I just discovered Pippa Grant, and she's hilarious. Humor is really important to me in books, and my books are comedies, and she's just funny. It's like one-liner after another. And I like Christine Higgins. I like Allison Bliss, Jay Crownover, of course, and I can't wait for her book to come out in the summer that's going to have mine in the back of it. But I have a huge list. I like A.J. Pine. I like Carolyn Brown, Laura Drake. Those are all cowboy authors. Those are my people. But just, I have so many books. And I do, even though I'm writing and I shouldn't sneak off to read, I still do. I still do sneak off to read. I just finished Pippa Grant's book called Hot Air, which is a play on words. It's H-E-I-R.
Oh, okay.
Which is funny. Yeah, I know.
That is cute. That is very cute. See, now I'm going to go look up that book.
Cute.
So Tippa Grant, Hot Air.
Yeah.
And really but cute. I think it's important that as writers, you do read, because you do get so immersed in creating that world that I think you know at some point you're like, all I'm writing is he said, she said at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to step away and kind of recharge that brain. And I think that's one of the things that someone told me years ago, that you have to keep reading if you want to keep writing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that. And I am.
Go ahead.
When I get a little bit blocked in my books and frustrated, if I go read something else and I see, oh, this is a way that they dealt with that situation, or this is how they increase the conflict, like I'm enjoying it, but subconsciously I'm learning from it too. And when I put that book down, I'm ready to jump back into mine, and I have new tools in my tool chest to use.
I love it. Well, we have about 2 minutes left, so I wanted to ask you, what is the best and worst writing advice you've ever gotten?
I don't know what the worst is, but the best writing advice I've ever gotten is to listen to people when they're trying to help you. You know, it's tempting to just not accept all the criticism that hurts, but to just listen to what people are trying to say if they're trying to help you, because that really was when I crossed the line in my writing, is when I accepted constructive criticism and then made the necessary adjustments to my work. It's hard to do that. You just want to hear all the good, feel-good messages. But if you really want to get better, you have to learn how to get better. And that means hearing what you're doing wrong and listening to that.
Right, because again, it's a business, and you want to present the best possible project when you send it in. So you certainly want everybody to tell you, you know, you need to fix this and fix that, versus sending it to an editor and hearing no. And you may still hear
And you don't want to jump the gun. I myself have sent off work before it was ready to be seen, and that's probably the most common thing I watch other authors do also, is send it off before it was really ready to be seen. And then it gets rejected, not on its worth, but because it just really wasn't ready.
Right. So everybody out there writing for NaNoWriMo, please just write your book and get done. Get that first terrible first draft done, and know that everybody's first draft, everybody who's ever written has a terrible first draft, possibly even a terrible fifth, but they keep writing and they keep listening, and they have those wonderful critique groups and those people that do help. So thank you so, so much for coming on today, Carly. I really appreciate your time. And Carly's book, of course, and Carly's book, Big Bad Cowboy, is available right now. And if you go to Amazon, or it is the links in our write-up for the show, you can find the links for Amazon, Kobo, iBooks, Barnes & Noble, Goodreads, and IndieBound. And if you want to find Carly, you can find her on her website, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thank you, everybody out there, and keep reading.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.